You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning. We are down to the fourth psalm in our series called Unwavering. Many of you know that we have been looking into the life of Abram, or Abraham. He was called Abram before he was called Abraham. For the benefit of those who've joined us for the first time, this series focuses on many of his actions, his faith in the God that he worshiped, even before he had an encounter with God. And we are also looking at the things that we benefit from the actions that he did. And we said when we started this series that we are looking at the journey of faith of Abraham. And one thing that we can glean on the life of Abraham is the fact that his journey of faith was not perfect. But you know, his life was, to a certain extent, was similar to yours and mine. It's not like the moment we became a Christian, things were falling right in place for us. We go straight head on all of these things. But for Abraham, there were times in his life wherein he wavered in his faith. There were several hiccups, so to say, in his life or in his walk with God. Now, I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while to Genesis chapter 15. We started off this series by looking at Genesis chapter 12, wherein we have seen God calling Abraham. We understand that Abraham is from a place called Ur. What a wonderful name for a city, right? For a place, Ur. Taga saan ka? Taga Ur. You are lang. Hindi ko nga alam, iniisip ko nga paano nagkaroon ng Ur. So siguro nagtatawag, ano matatawag natin sa lugar na to? Ur na. So, which is the land of the Chaldeans, and his father, Terah, received a call from God to pack up their stuff. Context lang po. To pack up their stuff and bring his entire household together with Abraham and everything that they have from Ur, going supposedly to a place called Canaan. I'd like for us to understand that Terah had a vision, or rather, Terah knew for a fact that they were going to Canaan, but that idea was actually foreign to Abraham. They went from Ur, and then they reached a place called Haran before Terah actually said, the place is already good, we have to stay in Haran, instead of fully obeying God into going over to the land of Canaan. So what happened was that, you know, God renewed the call for the family, but this time around, it was not over Terah anymore, but it was on Abraham. God called Abraham to a place that I will show you. It was like something that was progressive. God didn't name out the place that he's going to go to is a place called Canaan. It is simply because, like, along the way, God shows him where he should be going. So it's a daily decision to obey God. Amen? It's a daily decision to have faith in the very word of God. Now today, we are in chapter 15, and this is like three chapters from chapter 12 where we started. I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while to Genesis chapter 15. Ang sabi po dyan is, coming from Haran, going to Canaan, bago sila pumasok ng Canaan, dumaan muna sila sa place called Shechem. Kasi po, hindi ko alam anong significance, pero feeling ko kasi, medyo malayong biyahe, I think 900 kilometers. Tapos, desert yun, madumi, so they have to go to Shechem muna, to Shechem the dust. Genesis chapter 15, we will be reading verses 1 down to verse 21. It says here, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man, Eleazar, he shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, and the Bible says, cut them in half and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey, vultures, came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. As the sun was setting, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, the same way that happened to Adam. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, Abram, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, Bible says, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, Abram, I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now, let me see a show of hands for a while. Whom are familiar with this story? You're familiar with the story wherein God brought Abram out of the tent and showed him all the stars of the sky. Anyone? We'll just comb through the verses. We'll look at the verses and we'll glean into what some of these verses actually mean to every single one of us, how relevant these things are. In verse 1, it says here, after these things, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. I'd like for us to understand that at this junction, at this point, God was already repeatedly appearing to Abram. His first encounter with God, creator of the heavens and the earth, was when God spoke to him audibly. But when the relationship progressed, now God started appearing to Abram. So this was another case of those things. So Abram started putting up monuments, putting up altars every time he will have an encounter with God. So that has been the practice of Abram, because his background was, he was a pagan. He was not a God worshiper. Yet, even if he was not a God worshiper, God initiated a relationship with him. That says a lot of things, right? At the end of the day, we understand that it's actually God who orchestrated things for us. He was the one who initiated a relationship with every single one of us. It says here, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And God said in that vision, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. If you look at these verses right here, we have to understand a few things first. Because it says here, after these things. So what things are we talking about? We're just starting verse 1 of chapter 15, but it says here, after these things. So of course, it brings us to the context. So meaning to say, there's something that happened in Genesis chapter 13, or probably there's something that happened in Genesis chapter 14, for these words, after these things, to be written here. So we have to understand the context first. Saan po nanggagaling tong story na to? We have to understand the background of all of this. So what we're going to do here is that we're going to backtrack a little bit from Genesis 15. We will backtrack a little bit to Genesis chapter 13. A few moments on Genesis chapter 14. So I hope later you will read this for yourself. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, it says here, Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. So here's the background here. Abram had a nephew. His name was called. Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And what happened was that they became exceedingly wealthy in terms of possessions. They were becoming wealthier and wealthier and all of these things. So Abraham told Lot that, I feel like our material possessions, nangyayari to noon, nangyayari to ngayon. Lot, I feel like our material possessions will cause us strife in the future. Ibig sabihin raw po, yung mga kayamanan could be a root for conflicts, family conflicts, yung mga pamana, mga ganito bagay. So Abraham, being wise, he said, what if we do something? Let us part ways. Let us part ways because we have always been together. Remember, from Ur of the Chaldeans, nilakad natin to hanggang Canaan. Buti na lang yung islander natin, tibay ng orig. But I feel like we are becoming many and I think you've already grown. So we have to part ways. Now, because we are parting ways, being a good man, I'll give you the opportunity, Lot, to choose the land where you want to go. So this is just basically the context of it. And guess what? Magaling po si Lot. What Lot did was that he chose the choice land. And what was left of Abraham, I'm not saying he had the bad ones, but Lot's place was the better one. They needed to part ways, so they have to say goodbye to each other. And here's what happened. In the place where Lot was, there was a brewing tension. There was a brewing war or battle between two camps of kings. So if you're talking about a collaboration of two kings, you know that this is a serious matter. If you're talking about a collaboration of three kings or four kings or five kings, you know that this is going to be a big war or a big battle for that matter. So what happened was that, you know, Bera right here was a king of Sodom, and that was where Lot was staying. So this was a battle between Raphael together with Arioch, Chedor, Laomer, Tidal versus Birsha, Bera, Shinan, Shemeber, Zoar. You can read this later. Hindi ko pa alam anong pinagmulan ng away nila. Baka nagtuksuan sila sa mga pangalan nila. Hindi po natin alam. They had a conflict, they had a tension, and they decided to go into war. And of course, it was a big war. You're talking about four kingdoms against five kingdoms for that matter. Coming together, collaborating, and going to war against each other. And the result was, this group of people right here, because the mighty king, Chedor Laomer, he was mighty in battle. What happened was that this group of people right here prevailed against the other one. And I told you a while ago that Bera was the king of Sodom, and that was where Lot was. So ibig sabihin po, the place where Lot was a place wherein a lot of eyes were laid on that, because that's where the riches are. Here's what happened. When this group of people here, when the kings here prevailed against them, they started looting the place. They started ransacking the place. They started taking their plunder. That's how they do wars before. That's in their code. If you win the war, you get the spoils of the land. So they prevailed against them. So here's what happened. They took stuff from Sodom, from Gomorrah, and all of these places. The problem was the Bible says they also took Lot. Hindi ko alam, baka mukha siyang plastic o mukha siyang bagay. Hindi po natin alam. Baka mukhang furniture. So they also took Lot, the son of Abraham's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom and his possessions, and went their way. So I want you to imagine that. So they didn't just take all the possessions, they also took Lot with them. For whatever reason that we do not know, most likely to be turned into a slave or something like that. So what happened was that news reached Abram. The news about Lot being taken away by the League of Kings reached Abram. So what happened was that in Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, it says here, when Abram heard that his kinsman had been taken captive, Bible says Abram led forth, look at this, his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. That's somewhere in Syria, went in pursuit as far as Damascus. Meaning to say, when he heard that his kinsman was taken captive by those group of kings, Bible says Abram didn't think twice, didn't second guess about doing this, but he brought his 318 men and pursued them. And of course, what happened was that Abram strategized an attack against those group of kings in the evening. He strategized, so he positioned his people to attack them in the evening. And of course, the Bible teaches us that he has actually prevailed from the war. Abraham, together with his 318 men, prevailed against those number of kings together with the men, because what they did was they did a surprise attack. Here we have Abraham, like what I said, if they win wars, they bring stuff with them. Here comes Abraham coming home, and the Bible says upon Abraham's return from the battle, he was met by two kings. The first was a king called Melchizedek. Melchizedek as a person is a preaching for a different day. He was a king priest. The Bible says Melchizedek was the king of Salem, which some scholars would say is actually Jerusalem. So he was met by Melchizedek, king of Salem. And what is fascinating here was that Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. And after which, it was actually Abraham who tithed towards King Melchizedek. Now, the other person that met Abraham was the king of Sodom, the king of Lot, which was King Bera. So King Bera was with his men. He was telling Abraham, congratulations, Abraham. Thank you for doing this. Now, I want to give you all of these possessions. Are folks with me? I want you to understand this. He may have been becoming wealthy, but the prospect of more wealth is actually tempting. Are folks with me? Human as he is. But here comes King Bera telling Abraham, okay, I'm going to give you all of this wealth, all of this possession. But here's what Abraham said. Genesis chapter 14, verse 22, it says here, "But Abraham said to the king of Zoram, King Bera, I have lifted my hand to the Lord." When you lift your hands to the Lord, it means that you have worship. "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." So meaning to say, in front of this king, he starts declaring that whatever we have, whatever you will have, the one who gave that or the one who possessed that is actually the king of the universe. Then he starts telling him that "I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say that I have made Abraham rich." So meaning to say, the faith of Abraham is this one. His faith says that the one who's going to prosper me is God himself. Not connections. Come on now. Not my educational background. Not my apelido. It's not because I am an ampas. Not because of my looks. He starts declaring to this king right here, "If I am going to be prosperous, I want you to understand, king, it is not because of you. Because I don't want you to get the glory for something that belongs to God." That speaks a lot of the faith that Abraham is laying down here. That speaks a lot. Now, in fact, the Hammurabi Code during their time, the Hammurabi Code of the East, would state that it was actually lawful. It was actually lawful for Abraham to take for himself the plunder and the spoils from the battle. So meaning to say, if he accepted the offer, no problem. He could walk away from that place with no guilt at all. Are folks with me? This was not a gray area. It's not like, "Abraham, ako na bahala sa BIR." This is not under the table. There's no secret signing of papers here and all. There was none of that. This is perfectly legal. This is perfectly allowed by culture and by law. In all legalities and culturally speaking, he should be taking what belongs to him. Can you imagine going against these five kings? Then he took everything and then he gives everything to King Bera for that matter. It's all yours. Imagine yourself in that scenario. Ikaw kaya, king, sa'yo na lahat yan. Yung bulsa mo, puno ng gold coins. Or yung ikaw ko, "Tiya, akay na lang tong camel para bang ulam mamaya." Bible is very clear that when Abraham was coming from the battle, he gave everything. Please be honest with me here this morning. Do you think it's easy to pass up on material possession? Let's go to Genesis 15. Instead of being happy, instead of rejoicing, because he just defeated the League of Kings. If I were Abraham, I'd be so glad. I feel like my name would be written in the books that, you know, people would start recognizing. There's this shepherd man. They call him Abraham. He defeated five kings. Problem was, Bible teaches us that he was actually bothered. Genesis 15, verse 1 tells us that he was actually bothered. Imagine this with me coming from war, after meeting King Melchizedek, after meeting King Bera, he stayed in his tent. He spent the evening contemplating. Tama ba yung ginawa ko? Have you ever done something that is right? Yet after which, yes, you have peace in you, but sometimes you keep thinking about it. I should have taken that job. I feel like I should have taken that job. Bible teaches us that Abraham was actually bothered. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, over what? What was bothering his soul? Two things. First, Abraham was contemplating, most likely, about the retaliation from the League of Kings. Yari. Si Lot selfish. Sinave ko si Lot. Anong gagawin kaya ni Lot for me? Baka pag ako inatak, papabayaan ako. Now he keeps thinking about, if I have defeated them, most likely, they're already planning their vengeance. They're already on their board working on a strategy to defeat me and my 318 men. Are folks with me? The other one was that he was also bothered because he passed up on a prospective wealth. He had possessions, but he would have been more wealthy. Is there anyone here who wants to be wealthy? Come on now. It's not an illegal way of being wealthy. It's like he worked hard for that. I don't want to say he worked hard for that because he worked hard in killing these people, but he worked hard for that. I mean, he worked hard in raising 300 skilled men. You know, Abraham could have easily been the crazy rich Chaldean. He would have been that person. It would have been Abraham, yet he passed up on that. You know, making a decision to fully trust God is not easy. Most likely upon saying those words, I don't want you to take the glory if I become wealthy, King Bera. But at the back of his mind, he's thinking, tama ba itong sinasabi ko? Tama ba itong ginagawa ko? To think that this is perfectly legal. I wrote it down that when you make a decision to take note of the word, fully trust God. I feel like, Lord, this is the easy way. You're taking me this route. Because I feel like this is your will for me. But I fully trust you. Take note of this one. I'm talking about someone whose father actually obeyed God halfway. Take note of this one. I'm talking about someone who has been practicing obedience every step of the way. From the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, going to Haran, every step of the way. Yung revelation ni Lord sa kanya, God's revelation for him was progressive. One step at a time, Abraham, because I want you to have the habit of obedience. Good thing was that when he was bothered, have you ever been bothered over something? Perhaps you're anxious over something. But every time we have anxiety, we go to God. We go to God. And look at this one. Here's the amazing thing that happened here. Because God knows fully his situation. Why? Because God says, Abraham, fear not. Did Abraham say something to God? No. The countenance. If people could notice your countenance, Blaise, mukhang bothered ka. Is there something that I can pray for you? How much more the God of the universe who created you, who knows your innermost being? People could be celebrating, yeah, great is Abraham for winning against the League of Kings. And Abraham was like, yeah, cheers for that. But behind the smile, God knows that there's something wrong. Something's bothering Abraham. So God went to Abraham and told Abraham, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. At the end of the day, God's word is an oasis in times of crisis. You need to have God's word in your life. I want to talk about something for a while. Let me just lay down Genesis chapter 3, which is the covenant of works, because we are actually talking about covenant today. You know, the covenant of works in Genesis chapter 3 gives us this if-then, an if-then scenario. If a person accords worship and adoration to God, at least in Genesis 3 up until this time, okay? I want you to understand, covenant of works. Covenant of works is different from the Abrahamic covenant, which is what we're going to discuss later. It's different from the covenant made with Noah. Covenant of works, if a person accords to God worship and adoration, God reciprocates it with blessings, protection, and privilege. That is why God tells him, I am your shield, protection. I will bless you, provision. Why? It gives us a picture that Abraham is a worshiper of God. No wonder God told Cain, Cain, if you would have done what is right, will I not accept your offering? You didn't accord to me the right adoration, the proper worship, and therefore, I cannot bring about protection and provision over your life. But Abraham, for a fact, we understand, biblically speaking, that Abraham accords to God the adoration, the worship that he deserves. I was reading Genesis 15:1 last night, and I was looking at the different Bible versions for Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Here's what's amazing. I found out that in NASB and NIV, it says here, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield. I am your very great reward. What is amazing here is that God is telling Abraham that his presence is his protection. Abraham, my presence in your life is your protection. My presence in your life is your provision, is your blessing. No wonder Psalm chapter 3, verse 3 tells us, you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. At the end of the day, he may not have the spoils of the land. But you know what? No amount of silver, gold, crystal, whatever, or all of these things will stand in pale comparison to the very great reward, which is the very presence of God. And that is what God wanted Abraham to understand. I am with you, my presence is with you, and guess what? I am more than enough. Whether you become wealthy or not in the future, you are wealthy now because of my presence in your life. I want you to understand this. Do you folks realize that whether you have 13 million or none, as long as you have Christ in you and you are actually enjoying that relationship, you are actually wealthy. It's not actually a matter of just perspective. It's a matter of conviction. It's a matter of deep communion. How satisfied are we with our relationship with Christ? When we say Jesus period, Jesus plus nothing equals everything, is it really something that's really true in our life? Or when you look at your friends on Instagram, they have this, they've been there, they did this, it makes you insecure. That happens to us when our focus, our gaze, is on the material possessions of this world. Abraham, once again, passed the test. There's no greater reward than God himself. How long have you been a Christian now? Are you still enjoying the joy of your salvation? Yeah, I'm not saying that you're not looking back and thinking about the what could have been. This was our devotion with our staff last Tuesday. Many of our staff in the church, Genty, Herlin, Pastor Keen, they're all nurses. I asked them, if you're not doing what you're doing now, where would you be? And they were saying, I would be doing this. I might be in this place. But at the end of the day, it's not just a matter of job. It's a matter of calling. So I may be there, but I don't have peace. You know how crazy it is for Gigi to go to Lebanon on her own? But I think, Gigi, this is for you, that God's presence in your life is your shield. Sa mga lalaki po dito, for all the husbands here, every time you leave Dumaguete, every time you go to work, most likely you think about your families. Yeah, Dumaguete is a city of gentle people, but you think about their welfare, you think about their protection. But I want you to understand this, that God has already commissioned angels in your very household to protect your very wife, your very children, for that matter. Why? Because God is our shield. In fact, his presence in our life is more than enough. Then it says here, Genesis 15, verse 2, and Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. You know why? Because God promised him 10 years ago that he's going to give him a child. God tells him, if you're not Abraham, I'm here. Lord, wait a second. You told me that you're going to have a child here. We keep talking about possessions. We keep talking about descendants. I don't even have a child. The one that I have here is this guy, Eleazar. Sino? Si Eleazar, Lord. Si Eleazar. Who's Eleazar? Eleazar is a slave of mine from Damascus. And behold, the word of the Lord came to me. This man shall not be your heir, Abraham. Your very own son shall be your heir. A lot of times, we feel like if you go to your journals, if you're writing journals, you go back to your journals of 5 years ago, of 7 years ago, and you feel like, man, God promised me all of these things. But Lord, it has been 15 years. You know what might encourage you? Go to the people in the Old Testament. Some of them have waited 400 years. Teka lang, patay na sila nun. Opo, patay na po sila. Pero posterity po ang iniisip ni Lord. Yung obedience po natin ngayon will affect the next generation. Kung impatient tayo ngayon kasi gusto natin atin, kawawa po yung next generation na susunod sa family natin. It's not that God has forgotten, it's just that we are impatient at times. What has God promised you? Future husband? Future wife? Promotion? Good job? I want you to understand, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten. God has not forgotten. He doesn't forget all of these things. He's asking for communion. Perhaps, just perhaps, he wants to make sure that even if you have that, you will not be destroyed. That even if you have that, whether you have that or not, you're fully satisfied in Him. That's why we don't make idols out of work. We don't make idols out of marriage. I feel like if I get married, everything will just be wonderful. Ask the husbands and wives here. Verse 5, it says here, and he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Lord, I remain childless. You promised. You know what God told him? Shh. Let me bring you out of your tent. Mahirap kasi pag lagi kang isolated, ang dami mong kasinungalingang naiisip. Labas muna tayo ng tent. Pahangin muna tayo. Pahangin ka muna. Let me show you something, Abraham. Abraham, can you please look up? Yes, Lord. You see the stars in the sky? That's gonna be your offspring. Imagine that you were Abraham. You're thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, ang dami yan. Anong pang-tuition ko? During their time, every time Abraham would have a deep communion with God, he would put an altar. During their time, a lot of them placed altars. Remember? They would put altars here. You know, this is a photo of a marker. The one who did the grid for New York City, for the entire Manhattan. If you understand, New York is like, if you go to Bacolod in Lacson, it's laid out in grid. New York City is like that. So there's still a remaining grid marker in Central Park, right in the middle of New York. So the guy who did that, there was still one. But a lot of times in the history of every city, there's a lot of like old relics, altars built up. But of course, through time, because of war, because of construction, because of the activities of mankind, a lot of these are displaced or removed. When we were in Lebanon last year, in October last year, every time we would drive in Lebanon, if you turn left, sometimes they would close the road because every time they would start putting up a new building, for example, Ablaze bought a new property and he said, I'm going to put a high-rise building here. And then when they start digging, they stop because they realize, wait a second, why is there a pillar here? Because they said the current Lebanon sits on top of 7 cities. And sometimes we would peek deep down, it's like one entire place right there. I'm sharing that because altars, markers are removed through time. 100 years, 50 years. In Dumaguete, we still have the bell tower, right? What else do we have here? The Siliman Hall in Siliman. So you have all of those things. But through time, these things get displaced. You know, God in His infinite wisdom showed Abraham something that will never be displaced. It wasn't like, you see this tent, Abraham? You're going to be like a tent. You're going to cover the entire world. It was like that God showed him the stars in the sky, something that He Himself created. Abraham, look up. At the end of the day, I want us to understand that your present reality, not your future destiny. We were going through some of your prayer requests in the envelope, and it breaks our heart thinking that, Lord, they've been praying for the same prayer for like what? For 2 years now? For 3 years now? But I want us to understand, this church, that your current reality, whatever worst thing that you may be experiencing right now, that is not your final destiny. And I hope and pray that you'll be like Abraham, that when you go home later, when you go to the boulevard, despite the busyness, you'll have time to contemplate about all of these things. The things that you may not have. Look to the stars in the sky and understand the God that you worship is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps His covenant to His people for that matter. This is the God that we worship. In verse 6, it says here, and he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteous. This is crazy. Yeah, you understand Genesis, man. It barrels through your spirit. Look at this one. He brings Abraham and told Abraham, Abraham, look at the stars in the sky. That's going to be your offspring, Abraham. And you know what? We might say, what foolishness. What foolishness. foolish is for Abraham to say, okay, Lord, I believe. Look at this one, friends. It says here, because Abraham believed, Bible says, it was credited to him as righteousness. You know what it says? Right there and then, Abraham got saved. He got saved. The pagan worshiper got saved simply because he placed his faith on the word of God. Because of this event, perhaps this is one of the most important verses in the entire book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verse 6. Because no one will dare believe the words that I say, because you believe, Abraham, I'm going to establish something in your lineage. It says here, and he said to me, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. Remember, I brought here to give you this land to possess. But he said, oh Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Lord, how shall I know, Lord? You've been telling me, Lord, we've been talking about a son and a land. But how shall I know, Lord? Here's what happened. He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old. A heifer is a young cow. He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old. I don't know what's with 3 years old. A ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. Okay, how many animals were that? Told Abraham to bring these 5 animals. Look at this one. What happened here was that he brought him all this and cut them in half and laid each half against the other, but he didn't cut the birds in half. Here's what happened. Imagine Abraham bringing the young cow. Bible says the young cow needed to be cut in half. The first one is here, and the other one is here. The other half is here, the other half is here, the other half is here, the other half is here. Okay, so magkahiwalay po yan. And the Bible teaches us, or the Bible tells us rather, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 12, as the sun was going down, sunset, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and behold, a dreadful great darkness fell upon him. After cutting those animals in half, the Bible says, nakatulog si Abraham, but it was God who caused him to sleep on sunset. Then it says here, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, so now this was evening time. The Bible says, look at this one, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Every time we encounter things like this, pillar of cloud in the evening, smoking fire pot here, flaming torch, what? It gives us a picture that this is the very presence of God. I'd like for us to understand this. Culturally, what are we talking about? Here's what's happening. Blaze, can you please join me here? Here's what's happening. This is how a covenant works. If Blaze right here and myself would be getting into a covenant, we will be getting into an agreement over something, we will do something like that. We will get animals, we will get heifer, cow, ram, mala, no? Sana isda na lang. Diba? We'll get all of these animals, we will cut them in half and lay it there. 1, 2, 3, 4. So come in, Blaze, we lay them, and then of course, you have to have the imagination to think that this is full of blood right here. Here's what we're gonna do. We will pass through these animals. Myself first, and then the other one. Both of us who have agreed in a covenant. Here's the importance of this. We have just sealed a covenant. And we're telling each other, if one of us will break our covenant, that will happen to that person. You break your part of the covenant, Blaze, you'll be like that head right there. I break my part of the covenant, I'll be like that. So it gives us a picture that whenever we seal this covenant, this is something that we will do. This is something that our family will do. Or else, or rather less, that will happen to us. Are folks getting the picture? The amazing thing here is that the Bible says, Abraham was asleep and he didn't fall asleep. What happened was that it was God who caused him to fall into a deep sleep. It's not like, oh, boring. No. God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. Remember, When Adam fell into a deep sleep, God did a deep work. The same way, when Abraham fell into a deep sleep, God did a deep work. That's why he was sleeping. The Bible says the smoking torch passed through that. You know how crazy that is? That is so crazy that Abraham was sleeping and it was God who bound himself in a covenant. Because he knows for a fact if Abraham were awake, he will pass through this. He can never, never, ever in his lifetime fulfill his promise to God. That is who we are. We tell God, Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But we always fail. Bible teaches us all of our righteous acts are but filthy rugs. That's why God says, I'm going to pass through this because I know you're so futile. I know that you cannot fulfill your part of the covenant. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he passed through this because it gives us a picture that he was the one who was willing to die for our mistakes. On that very day, Bible says, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your offspring, I give this land, Abraham. To the river of Egypt, to the great river, the Euphrates. The land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Ammonites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. From that point on, what God was essentially saying, that no matter what Abraham does or does not do, God will keep his promise. God will keep his promise. It was God who got in and initiated a covenant between you and me. When he did the same thing with Noah, he told Noah, every time you look at the sky and there's a rainbow, I want you to understand that I have made a covenant with you. But the Abrahamic covenant is a covenant of promise. It happens to Abraham. It will happen through Abraham. It will happen also to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times, our life is marked by, but Lord. But Lord, I am like this. But Lord, I don't have this. But Lord, I am fearful. But Lord, I am doubtful. But even with the presence of all of these things, God will always do a yet God moment in our lives. You don't feel like you have the money, yet God will do something in your life. You feel like you don't have the connection, yet God will do something in your life. Why? Because the God that we worship is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his promises to you and to me.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.